Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan. I have John and the Illini Oracle, Robert Rosenthal, back joining us for another episode of the Field Pass. Robert, we got what you wanted last week, Western Michigan against Illinois. A little bit of a test. Is that kind of how you envision things going? I know you said you hoped for that type of game.
Who approved this whole Illini Oracle thing?
That was all me.
Okay. Yeah, that's just Dan going off on one. He's trying to speak it into existence.
I don't hate it. I mean, who does? Who hates being called the Oracle, right? And I do have a lot of good predictions. However, I did have us at 4-8 last season when we went 10-3. So it's a little bit of a struggle for me to accept the Oracle-ness, but that's for another time.
Given your issue with naming some wide receivers, leading wide receivers last year, I may have to revoke the title. Or last episode when we had talked about who was the 2011 leading receiver and the 1994 leading receiver, maybe the Oracle-ness, the sage advice is wearing off a little bit.
You don't think I haven't thought about that all week?
He's been studying tables, doing flashcards.
No. I see. That's the thing. I don't want to study.
Uh-huh.
I want to just be there in my head.
You know? You went and got a haircut and trimmed your beard to try to change your identity.
100%. Yes, I did just both today. I trimmed the beard like 43 minutes ago. That's why. Awesome. That's what you. I'm going to go to my hair on the video at least 47 times. Because when it's short like this, I just have this like, did they leave any left? So I'll just grab it and okay, yeah, there's enough there. And then I'll just keep doing it over and over. So prepare yourself.
All those
Kendrick
folks on YouTube.
Jones, by the way, from East St. Louis. Kendrick Jones, receiver in 03-04. Sorry, Kendrick Jones. I woke up at like 2:30 a.m. one night and was like, Kendrick Jones! I didn't look it up. I wait until my brain
tells. That's the best. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Kendrick Jones. Nickname Shantez.
Western Michigan.
Yes.
Giving us a scare. A little bit.
Struggled. Yes. Yes. I wanted it to be the worst of our next four games. And hopefully it was the worst of our next four games. I think I said three games of Western Michigan, Indiana, USC. I wanted to have I was actually hoping for a couple of turnovers, just get them out of the way. I think of turnovers in that sense a lot, that it's like, you know, they come and go and there's going to be 3-1 game and 0 the next. And you're going to fumble three times and recover all of them. Oh, man. Yeah, okay, we talk about like my brain saying things to me. You know what my brain just said to me?
Let's hear it.
Have we recovered every fumble in all three games?
Wasn't there a muff that got recovered by, was it Western Illinois or who was it?
No, we recovered. I mean, Valentine muffed the one kickoff.
Uh-huh.
It up and ran it. That was Duke, though.
Yeah. I think you're right.
We haven't turned over. I'm just saying, like, you know, the big stat is not so much fumbles that come out. It's like you're going to recover about 50% of the ones that hit the turf.
Right.
There have been maybe six on the turf this year, and we've recovered all six.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, now I'm even more worried because the turnover fairy had gifted us when we didn't need it, and we're going to really need it soon. So
I guess we're reducing the amount of turnover-worthy plays. I think that was like, I know I've referenced this before, that like that was the big knock on Luke, is that his turnover-worthy throws last year was like something that could have gotten us in even more trouble than, you know, sometimes it got us in 2 years ago. That kind of got him in trouble before the Paddock thing. And so I've kind of tried to make note of that, but I haven't noticed any. Like, he's had a couple that maybe, yeah, he's thrown it into a spot where, you know, if Bowick doesn't get his hands on it, maybe it's picked or maybe it gets tipped up in a certain way. I haven't seen it as much, though, this year as last year. I think actually he's gotten pretty good going through. I'm actually cutting up some of the Duke tape just to put like a highlight package of his out there for people to watch, because some of those throws he made was insane.
Mm-hmm.
But he's doing a better job, even on some of his misses, of throwing to the like not throwing hospital balls or throwing away from the defender, trying to lead his receiver. And sometimes that's leading to misses. So I'm, I guess, optimistic that he's learned so much that it's not necessarily the turnover fairy is due, but the turnover worthy plays just are so low that you're not getting the instances needed to have turnovers happen. I guess the fumbles thing, yeah, that's more, you know, luck, but I guess the interceptions are more controllable.
On Altmyer specifically, I heard Bielema say, point out the stat recently that his his touchdown interception ratio, I think, is 4-1, whereas he cited, you know, the top guys in the NFL have 2.5 or 3-1 ratios. And he's like, he's protecting the ball. And maybe that means he's not taking the shots he needs to, or they have some sort of training wheels on. But I do think he is that good at protecting the ball, similar to what we saw with Tommy DeVito, where it's like, look, we know where the ball is going to go. We're going to make quick reads. We're going to get it there. And we're going to emphasize not putting the ball in harm's way. And he's done a tremendous job of that.
Definitely. Definitely. And we haven't really, you know, we protect the ball while running with it too. Like
right.
Seeing receivers wrap up when they know a hit is coming, you know, they preach that and preach that and preach that. My only point with that, my brain just made as there was, hold on. Are we like 100% on recoveries this year? Because I mean, look, like that Duke recovery, the sideline where Bailey punched it out, that is a 1 in 20 that ball, he's punching toward the sideline. It goes down at the right angle that it hits the guy's foot and bounces back in bounds.
It might be more like 1 in 1,000, honestly, with the way that a football bounces that close to the sideline. That 1 in 20 might be generous, but yeah, I mean, it's obviously still astronomical.
Yes. I just hope she still loves us through the next.
I think I was thinking of Malik Elzey that was trying to, I think the drop that was potentially going to be a fumble.
Oh yeah.
I guess we're like close to like one of those maybe. That might be the only issue, cause we do love running those slants. And I'm thinking of Hank last year against, I think it was Nebraska, where he like had his arms, he was tackled so that his arms weren't able to cover up, and then they just came in and punched it out. So maybe you get something like that, cause the quick game is probably necessary against Indiana, but I'm not. Yeah. Luke has been outstanding. That's a great comp, Dan, because DeVito's season here, he was just exceptional at taking care of the ball. So you gotta keep that trend going.
You know, I just realized I don't think I ever went back and watched that Elzey play. I was in the stands, and so I saw like a, you know, I saw a Jumbotron replay, but it wasn't very close. So I don't even know. Was it clear that it wasn't? Was it a 50-50? It was clear that he didn't have it. I don't think I've seen it.
He loves to do the body catch thing, and in the body catch, like the ball was still moving enough that as he was going to turn it into his elbow, it just kind of like dropped down out of his elbow as he was also getting hit. So it was just never really possessed by him.
Got it. I mean, that's one thing about being at every game, that I don't have these, like, you know, it's so funny. Like, just, this is basketball, but you guys might remember this. I was at the Indiana game that we won in overtime in 21. It's during COVID. There's no fans. You know, Indiana had like parents there in the stands that night, but, you know, no fans. I fouled out on driving the lane on a guy who jumped in front of him. I tweeted from behind that basket where the media seats were, as one of, you know, 20 people in attendance at the game, I tweeted like, yeah, it looked from my angle like he was set. 153,000 people on Twitter immediately responded to me like, are you an idiot? Are you, you know, like, how could you possibly think that? And it's always so crazy to me that, like, we're just at this point with reviews and this and that. The person at the game, like, telling the story of what's happening in the arena is so far behind seven angles of a slow-mo replay and this and that I've just learned over the years that, hey, people, I'm at the game and you're going to have to trust me when I'm flying blind here. It's crazy to me that the experience is now, you know, again, when I'm a kid, half the games aren't even televised. I'm checking radio. I'm checking sports scores in the paper in the morning to find out who won certain games, you know, like I'm totally in the blind. And for reporters that were there, they knew everything. And now we're in this world where, like, it's a week and a half after the Duke game. And I'm like, wait, did he really fumble that? Or was he not? I don't even know.
And home video, T teams don't necessarily show you the replay if it's not in their favor. So you're not always going to get the honest review from the Illinois home video production team if it's not in our favor. But
well, here at Illini Board Industries, we only drink Powerade Zero Mixed Berry.
That fair sponsorship enough. Coming through. I think Dan and I need to get a couple cases.
I can
see the Powerade reps.
I mean, those backgrounds are like AI, right? You could just literally a bunch of these lined up on the wall.
I could make my water glass that sometimes shows up in the screen. I could make this a Powerade via the power of AI.
Dude, that is so here. I'm gonna use a phrase from your generation. That cup is giving 1989 Pizza Hut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was also at when we lived at Newman freshman year, they had like a bunch of these cups, but I don't know why my mother just stocked us up with so many of them when I was in grade school or middle school or whatever. And then I just took a couple because we had so many that whenever I moved out, she was like, have some. So I greatly appreciate them. But yes, I also know that they're like a Pizza Hut reference to them as well.
You will never understand the joy of sitting at the Miss Pac-Man table at Pizza Hut, getting the buffet and hanging out with your friends. I mean, it wasn't
time.
That cup is a little bumpier cup, but it was the red plastic cup.
Pizza Hut has
so far off of this. Yeah.
You can't tell, but this one has the bumps. It has like, I think it's like the exact same probably manufacturer or whatever. They probably made a bunch in the 1980s and they made so many, but they're so good that they're just still selling through them in the year, 2025.
Yeah. Speaking of teams who haven't recovered a fumble, I'd say Pizza Hut's at the top of the list because those guys were the pinnacle of, fast casual pizza, and I feel like they've fallen substantially, but we don't have to go down the pizza tangent.
It was the trapezoid windows the moment they got rid of the trapezoid
windows. Yeah, ever since Brad Underwood stopped fighting in their parking lot.
100%. 100%.
Well, we got Indiana this week. I'd say it's finally big boy football time for both programs. I wanted to ask you both, like, Indiana's obviously played three tomato cans. I'd say Illinois played two tomato cans. And what kind of credence do you put into or what stock do you put into what Indiana's done dismantling? They had a tough game versus Old Dominion in the first one. And then, Kennesaw State and Indiana State last week, they beat them 70+0. Like, do you give that any credence at all?
Bayless, you go first.
I'm hard pressed to, it's kind of like how I feel about Illinois games where it's, you can't win, might lose in any of those scenarios. Like yes, they have a lot of talent and you can see that, I guess, clearly, but they're not really putting much on tape. And then there's also like, they haven't been punched in the mouth. These are essentially like sparring sessions for them and they're not really getting any kind of substantial contact. So they don't really know how they respond when they get punched in the mouth. Hopefully we can take that to them early and often, a la Devin Witherspoon in, what was that, 22? Mm-hmm. 22. So it was one of those where, like, I'm watching them and, you can see that they have plenty of talent, but really the comparison that I draw is just like, okay, this is kind of like Duke, but they have some better pieces, but I don't really know exactly how it's going to like land because they don't really have that much of a test case out against them this year. Like, yeah, their quarterback is great on paper and through the first three games against, maybe he's a MAC beater. Like, sure. Like, he probably is that good, but he hasn't really been tested against a Gabe Akis. Like, that's something that's an incredible, going up against a top 100 pick conservatively in the NFL is going to change the way that he processes things, the way that he's getting hurried, the way that he's going through it. Like, it's just, it's completely different, but we don't know. Like, yeah, he might respond to that adversity with 300 yards, and that's not unreasonable, but I just am hard pressed to put too much stock into it in a very long-winded answer.
Yeah. No, I think he's like, yeah, we don't know a single thing. Like, they might be like legit good again. They might have found a second transfer quarterback that can make that offense go. You know, they do have like four kind of stars, like they do have that. But all the 9 or 10 starters they lost, no one knows yet if they have some like weakness to something. And we've been studying that film. So yeah, on that sense, you know, there could be a thing where we like, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but like we could win by 10 plus and people are like, man, Illinois is absolutely legit. And then you come out to find out that Indiana was just a 7-5 team this year that played three nobodies and they hadn't been tested and this and that. So it's, you know, it's one of those hard to say things. The thing that scares me the most by far is just, said this like two other places this week. Let me see if I can frame it differently. We have, say this game was a 19th ranked Michigan State team at home against a, you know, whoever it is. Let's say it's number 9. Michigan coming in there. Maybe it shouldn't be Michigan because that's a rivalry thing, but it's number 9 Iowa coming in to number 19. If you just saw that game, didn't know the teams, anything else, and you're like, oh man, number 9's got to go on the road. Number 19's going to be fired up. You know, that's a game where Indiana could beat Illinois this week and then lose to Maryland next week or whoever they play. You know, like, you just think of like, oh, that Saturday night home game. I've referenced how like, you know, Purdue had those few years where they had 6-6 teams that they'd beat Ohio State, you know, in late September in a night game or whatever, and use all of their emotion for 3 or 4 games and then not be able to recapture it, especially on the road, that type of thing. That's what scares me about this game is they have been hearing for a year that they just went 10-2 against 10 bad opponents. And they haven't beaten a ranked opponent in however many years, and they're just a paper tiger, and they don't have this, and they don't have that. This is as motivated as a team will be to do that. And I don't like playing a team like that.
Yeah, especially. Like,
yeah, go ahead.
Especially in the big game atmosphere, NBC night game, primetime, red out, which actually I wanted to ask you guys, as someone who will be going to the game, they're wearing red, the whole crowd. As an Illinois fan, how do you best combat their fan base wearing red? It's probably not orange, right? Because that's too close. Do you go white? Although that's their kind of secondary color. Do you go blue? Do you go neon? Like, how do you combat as an Illinois fan in Indiana red out?
If it was Ohio State red or Wisconsin red, I would say orange doesn't work, but orange works against their maroon or whatever their crimson, whatever their red is. So their red is dark enough that orange still shows up.
Okay. That's, so you think go with Illini orange.
Yeah. Look at Bayless's, you know,
also it just like clashes in a really weird way for them. So like it makes their stadium look ugly, I guess. I don't know. I'd use that to our advantage to make them feel sad of themselves.
Are you old enough to know the game where Wisconsin wore red, basketball game, Wisconsin wore red, we wore orange? You're not old enough. I see on both your faces that you're not old enough.
No. It doesn't ring a bell, but.
Yes. Pull up pictures of, there was a game where neither team wore white. It was just us in orange and Wisconsin in red. And it was so, like, turn on the TV and it was like, what is this?
That's what makes me nervous is like, if I wear orange to the game and they're all wearing red, that I'm not standing out enough to disrupt and not doing my part as a fan to disrupt the red out. And that's why I'm like, my brain is like, maybe white kind of breaks up the red more. It's more of a contrast, or maybe even go with blue, you know, our secondary color to try to stick out. But orange is kind of, it would be an eyesore seeing the orange and red kind of mixed in together. And I don't know on national TV if that's going to stand out well or not.
Right. It's a good thought, but I think we're okay with orange this week because of that.
Yeah.
These are the hard hitting questions that we're trying to figure out here.
100%.
How do we figure out?
This is all that matters.
The other hard hitting question, Robert, is what's at stake? Because last year, I think it was Nebraska first Big Ten road game. You told us right here on this very podcast that should we win that game, you would go shirtless. and take a photo. And you certainly lived up to that that bet, from what I recall. And I think Brett Bielema even gave you a repost on that one. But is there anything in play this year, or was that a one-hit wonder?
So first off, if you remember, I tried to keep up my end of the bet, but also kind of like hide from it by doing an at tweet to the Field Pass account.
Oh yeah.
And I thought it was safe with, you know, cause there would be less, it would have to be somebody following both you and me and everything else.
So yeah.
I thought,
and we're not that popular. Yeah.
Yes. <I'm> kidding. Yes. I was trying to limit from 20 some thousand to like the 4,000 or whatever, but,
please go follow the Field Pass.
Please follow at the Field Pass. Wait, what is it? What is
yeah,
it?
No, yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go.
Follow at the Field Pass. But then Bielema saw it, which I guess means he follows you guys. And he retweeted it, and that sent it to his 260,000 followers. And then there it was on the field. So that's the question, right?
Yeah.
Let's just brainstorm this out loud. Last year, I said if we win our Big Ten road opener, I would go shirtless on the field. What are the candidates here? Like, do you guys have any ideas of like something I can do? I would like to keep my shirt on. The suggestion somebody gave me to make it pants this year, that's not going to happen. So let's just brainstorm here. What are some ideas? We're not shaving the beard. I already told you guys that over text. We got to leave the facial hair alone. It's been there on my face since Labor Day weekend of 1996. So we are nearly reaching. We are less than a year away from 30 straight years of having either goatee. I did have the late 90s Ken Caminiti, Mark McGuire goatee for a while. But we are years away from 30 straight years of hair on my chinny chin chin. So we can't touch that, but what are some ideas? Give me your ideas.
You want it to be immediate after the game, or is it just something that needs to be done over the course of the next week?
No, it needs to be tweeted.
Okay, live.
Last year, I'm like, I mean, I started out just by saying, like, look, if we freaking win this game, you're going to see me shirtless running around. One of you guys, like, is that a promise?
We called you out. Yeah.
And I said, yes, it is. And then, you know, that's where I'm at. So,
all right. Let me think of something that does not put your credential at stake.
Yes. And, yeah. We can't.
So we do have Dan there. Like, we can use, if you need two hands free for something, like, I'm trying to think of something.
Oh, wait. There could be, if Dan's in the stands and I do have access to the field.
Yeah,
he could get a photo of me
doing something,
but it can't be like, I'm not.
Yeah. One of the things, will you have access to the field after the game? Do you know if you're able to get down on
them? I don't know. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I usually do well after the game because I have to, like, oftentimes in road games, I'll shoot the TV thing for Sunday night with the WCIA folks at the game. And so, like, often I will just go down the field like 45 minutes after the game. And by that point, any TV people can get on there and I can go on with them. Most stadiums, you do get like last 5 minutes, they'll announce in the press box, you know, media now has access to the field area and this and that. But I can't guarantee that I will right after the game.
Okay. Famously,
the Rose Bowl or Rose Bowl, the Citrus Bowl. Famously, I was like denied by security in seven different spots trying to, because I did get access, but they wouldn't let me on. So yes, it's a, it's not something that could be guaranteed to be immediately after the game on the field.
All right. Let me throw this idea out just because I feel like the visual in my head is funny and I don't know, my brain is warped and sometimes thinks and virality and what might get the people going. And after a big win, should we pull it off? Seeing you gritty in the end zone might
I was going to say something similar.
Might be a viral sensation.
I was going to say, we need to get you doing the Fortnite L dance just in the stadium. Dan takes a video of you just doing that to appeal to the youngins.
Like maybe some sort of touchdown dance, something along those lines is where
you do a snow angel in the end zone.
Do you think I could learn how to gritty in the next 48 hours?
Yeah.
Like without looking, is that the click like legs?
It's like a little dance. It's super quick. It's Ja'Marr Chase is big on it. Justin Jefferson, I think.
Yep.
And so there's been some really bad ones over the years. I think Mike Gesicki is one of the guys who have done some very poor gritties, but it's not about doing the best gritty. It's about giving the people what they want. And I think a video of you doing some sort of touchdown dance celebration might be exactly what the doctor ordered.
I'm liking this. I'm currently Googling what is the Fortnite L dance. So let me see what that option is here.
Yeah. Go ahead and look at that one. That one's simple, but I think effective. And the gritty was going to be a little more complex, not unattainable for you, but
could be funnier. I think funny that Dan and my brains both went to you doing some level of dance on the field.
And I think those both keep the credential intact around your neck too. So maybe a worm, you know, if you really wanted to get down and dirty, a worm.
You could do the Amon-Ra St. Brown thing where he just stood on his head, just straight up and down.
Yeah, that would go well. Okay, so I think I'm looking at this is great. So that's exactly
what it is.
Yep.
For the people on the audio only podcast, he's currently three images deep in Google looking at the Fortnite.
You need to tell the old man stuff of like, I've taken the phone, held it up to the camera. Mm-hmm. Like, is this what you're talking about?
That's right.
This is why you need to be watching the Field Pass on YouTube, because this is how you get that. You get the red cup from 1980s Pizza Hut, and you get Robert's phone with Google images of dances.
What's your level of familiarity with the phenomenon known as Fortnite? Are you even familiar with what that? Yes. There it is.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
That's it. Just do
that's
that.
The video. That's the video right there. You could do that, right?
Just do that over and over.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And you could have where Dan just that, get.
Where is the other hand? Is that tuck? Is that a thumb in the belt? What are we doing?
Yeah, right on the belt.
On the forehead. Thumb in the belt, and then kick left, kick right.
That's all it is. But I think that has potential to do absolute numbies, as we like to call it in the biz.
So
could be elite.
I'm just thinking this out loud. If I do have field access, you could just be in the stands ready wherever you're at to film me somewhere on the field doing that.
Yeah. And I think it'd be good too if you just set up your camera right in front of you as well. If I can't get down on the field, but
oh my gosh, multi-angle too. You could really make imagine a fun video.
Anyone who's listening to this that will be at the game, we pull off the upset, even though we're the ninth ranked team. I think we're 6-point dogs. We pull that off. We get multi-angle compilation video, Robert Fortnite L dancing all over the field and make it go viral. I think that's a good idea, but you're the one who has to execute. No,
yes. I'm just trying to think through the ramifications of the, you know, like it would look, you know, if I go out to the 50 and do this,
right.
That's credential revoked every Indiana game for the rest of time. It has to be like, that's why if you notice the Nebraska picture, I went to the edge of the field, but I wasn't on the field.
Right.
I wanted to be somewhere taking that picture that a member of the general public could be, and not just, you know, taking advantage of my credential to then go and, you know, whatever, you know. So, hold on. It just keeps going to more Fortnite videos. What is this dance?
Are you on TikTok?
I mean, I just clicked on a TikTok that pulled up that dance, and now it's just auto-playing more of them.
That's awesome. He's caught in the loop.
Well, you're free to learn more than just the L dance should you decide you want to do multiple dances.
Because, it is a little almost disrespectful holding up the L. So, like, that could be something that gets misconstrued. So maybe Dan's suggestion with the gritty is a bit, quote unquote, safer, as much as a gritty can be safer. Also, Adam Schefter did hurt himself trying to gritty once. So maybe we take that into consideration.
Okay. Let me answer your other question for a moment because I don't want it to get lost. How familiar am I with Fortnite? Let me tell you what I think Fortnite is. Okay? As a 52-year-old in Central Illinois. It was huge in like 17, 18, 19, maybe 20. Some guy goes by Ninja. No? Wait, that the one? Is that the guy?
Yep.
Yeah.
The guy with the blue hair?
Keep, lived in Illinois. Keep going. Go off.
Right. He basically that was the first Twitch revolution of my friends and I, when we get together and they have younger kids, talk about how their kids don't watch TV anymore. They just watch some guy named Ninja play Fortnite. Okay. I asked my kids about Fortnite. My kids are all late 20s, early 30s. Okay. And my kids are like, we're Call of Duty people, Dad. We get on Call of Duty. We don't do the Fortnite. So apparently it was like just below their generation. But it was massive in that, like, don't you respawn into the game or something like that? And then when you do, you're on like a hang glider or something.
Oh yeah.
Is that right?
You got some of the details down, it sounds like.
What'd I do?
I thought it was exceptional. I mean that I felt like you gave us the most thorough history that we I think you surpassed expectations, honestly. I'm giving you a gold star on your Fortnite knowledge.
Excellent. Excellent. Next time I join you, we should do something else like that. Robert, what do you think TikTok is?
That, I mean, you never know what you're going to get. It's either, you know, we're talking about leading wide receivers from yesteryears, or we're 100%. Talking about TikTok dances. So it's
give me a year, real fast.
Running the gamut here. Yeah.
Give me a year. Somebody throw out a year. I'm going to get it. Here we go. Give me a year.
I'll go 92.
Duluc was a freshman, but I don't think he was the leading receiver.
John, start looking it up. Mm-hmm. For the record, John and I were both dead in 1992, so we won't have firsthand knowledge of this answer.
Year before Jimmy Klein, Johnny Johnson, before Jasper Strong, post Bellamy. Duluc eventually, but not then. I'm going to be so mad at myself over the next, I don't think Duluc would be in there till like 93, 94.
I can confirm that Jim Klein is number two.
That's what I'm saying. Well, was Jimmy Klein number one in 93?
Let's take a gander.
No, he wouldn't have been. He wouldn't have been. We had the Michael Dean moment last, but that's later in the 90s.
Yeah, Duluc was 93 as the wide receiver, but Duthard, the running back.
Douthard,
sorry.
I love that.
I love how you have a running back and tight end in two of your top three receiver categories for yardage with him and Ken Dilger.
Yep. The leading wide receiver.
Yeah, back to 92.
Who? Wasn't Jimmy Klein, wasn't Dilger. I mean, Dilger's tight end. We're going to keep talking. I'm going to put my phone over here, and I'm going to keep thinking about it.
All right.
Dan, ask John a question or something while I think about this.
All right, John. Xavier Scott, not playing this week.
Not good. Don't love that.
Got dinged up last week in a 31-0 ball game. Were you okay with him still being out there? I know you're still trying to, you know, get the defense to play hard throughout the game. It's the fourth quarter. You're up big, but you still have some of those guys in there. And B, how big of a loss is that for us?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to injuries, of course, stuff is like preventable, but you're also playing football, you're practicing football. Like, these things can happen at any given time. That doesn't necessarily excuse decision making where you have your starters in up 38-0. But I'm not necessarily willing to, you know, go so hard that I'm like upset about it, because, you know, it could be any play in terms of him trying to make some kind of athletic move like that. I guess my hope is that you never love, you know, a high ankle sprain, because those things hurt, but hopefully it's not something like super structurally damaged, because he did go to his ankle, thankfully, and not his knee. So I guess I'm hopeful that he can get back sooner than later if it's a low ankle sprain. But I think it just, for as much as you and I have talked and texted and thought about Caleb Patterson and Torrey Cox, Xavier was just, he's just so good at setting a high floor. Like, he just takes, he cleans up so much. Even in a game against, you know, Western Michigan, he's just, it's so effortless for him that I'm worried that your big playability obviously goes up when you don't have a guy like him on the field, but he just makes those routine plays, or even sometimes those hard plays, look routine. And that might be so sorely missed in a big spot that, yeah, that 6.5 point spread seems more justifiable than at that point.
Robert, are you still thinking
about it? Don't have it.
Should we give you any kind of like hints, or are you just?
I mean, I want you to give me initials, but then when you do that, if I don't get it, then there's gonna be all these listeners like screaming about it, and they know the answer, and I don't, and that's gonna keep me up all night tonight.
What about like the home, like what state the player is from? Is that too much info, that if you get the state or the hometown or something along those lines, that would be too much info for you?
Just give me first letter of the last name.
W.
Now tell me his entire name, because I don't want this to go on anymore.
John Wright.
Oh my God, how do I not know that? That's Paddock's uncle.
That's right. Yeah, I was like,
my sister is Paddock's mom.
You know, come full circle.
Grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He was pretty comfortably too. He had 40 receptions for 426 yards. The next closest in receptions was 28, and the next closest in yards was 290 from your guy Jim Klein. So it was a good season for Mr. Wright, all things considered. But
Robert will not be doing a stream of consciousness, knowing that he won't be sleeping another night.
I cannot.
If you just start seeing John Wright just typed in the SOC, then you know that the man is losing it.
He's just gonna go tweet out John Wright.
It's just terrible. It's just terrible. I know from the Paddock interviews, I told Paddock, like in that interview at Minnesota, like, yeah, your uncle was leading receiver in 92, and what does it feel like to, you know, your grandfather, your father?
Hey. It's okay. Hey, next snap. We're next snap kind of podcast here.
Right.
You know,
right.
Your next take will be your best take.
That's right.
What's your next take?
Give me a question. Just give me something to get.
Let's talk Xavier Scott. I was waxing poetic about all that. So I'm curious what your take is on all that and the 38-0 and what Dan was talking about.
I promised myself that with injuries this year, I was going to immediately force myself to respond with, this is why you have depth. And so my response is pre-manufactured back in July, but it is, this is why you have depth. You know, this is why you're going to have starters out. You had a starting linebacker out last week, and you have depth there, and you plugged and played. And I am going to treat this team differently than I've treated other teams and say, this is why of depth. Look, they've talked about Tyson Rooks for 3+ years now, the athleticism and this and that. Okay, kid, you're going to get 28 snaps or something. Go prove something. They've talked about Tanner Heckel being the next star of this defense. Okay, kid, I know you're just a true sophomore and you have maybe 70 snaps in this defense overall over a year plus 3 games, but it's time now. we started 15 freshmen in 2017. He's a sophomore, you know. We used to start freshmen and sophomores all the time. So this is just turning to that and say next man up. Now, obviously, I had Xavier Scott number three in my 88 Illini. And when you lose the third most important player, it's a massive blow. Just in, like, Xavier Scott's not going to get tricked by something and have some blown coverage of a 46-yard play or something like that. That will happen. You know, Indiana's coaches are scheming to confuse Cox or Patterson or Heckel or Rooks or Strain or whoever is in there, and they know they can probably pull one over on these guys. Hopefully Miles Scott and Matt Bailey can clean it up. But, you know, I thought a text from Carmen today was probably the best thing. Is like, yeah, we have depth and we have ways to go about it, but we probably have to change scheme a little bit. Like, and it probably isn't good to do that against, you know, if we were only playing a running team this week that didn't have a quarterback, then you just go to your 5-2-4 and you sit in that base and you play some zone and you do your stuff and you know. So if it was somebody else this week, if we were playing Minnesota or something, then you could be like, okay, well, we can manage that and this and that. But this probably makes you lean into a scheme you don't really want to use. And that's probably the scary thing about it all.
Yeah. It's worth acknowledging too. Indiana's without their starting running back, Lee Beebe, who I know had a non-contact knee injury. He's out for the season. So it's getting to the start to be the point of the year where every team's going to start accumulating injuries. You hate for it to be, like you said, to arguably your best defender, but you know, the floor of this team and this program has been moved so far up that you have guys now that would have been starters on an Illini defense, you know, a few years back. And it's nice. It's a nice luxury to have, especially when you had all these returning players, that guys who typically would be counted on right now are going to be the ones filling in, rather than guys who certainly aren't ready to play at the Big Ten level. So getting a guy like Tanner Heckel out there, who's already played reps this year, he's going to see more snaps. And, you know, maybe Mendoza and Signetti say, we're going to try to target this guy because he's filling in. Little do they know, Tanner Heckel tested as the, you know, most athletic player in the entire program. And maybe they try picking on a guy who's ready for it, and it actually ends up backfiring. You don't know how it's going to play out, but, you know, certainly don't love seeing injuries. We're just in a better place now than we have been historically to deal with them, which is a good problem.
Yep. Yep. I mean, I'm like, in terms of like players we can't lose on defense, you know, Gabe is number one by far. Bailey's probably number two for me. Because that's kind of irreplaceable. Miles Scott is close, but there is Resetich there. When are you publishing this?
Probably tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Which would be Friday.
Time for Signetti to find it and tap into my brilliant brain that can't remember John freaking Wright in 1992 when I'm a sophomore and I was there at every game.
Yeah. Hey, Kurt, if you're listening, go ahead and turn this part of the podcast off.
Yeah. Kurt, go look over there.
How is it? We're living rent free in your head, Kurt. How's that? Do we trigger you?
Google that. So that little package we showed against Western Illinois that we practiced, where Miles Scott was the slot corner and Resetich was the safety.
Yeah.
I haven't been saying this anywhere because I just don't want it out, but that's what we're going to do. Like, Resetich is our next best defensive back. So I think we're going to come out with Resetich starting and Miles as Xavier on the slot, and then just leave Patterson Cox on the outside and rotate in Heckel and Rooks. And I think we're going to do that. So because Resetich is so close to being a starter, I think we're just going to lean heavily into that package. So my guess when we line up is that we have three safeties on the field with Miles Scott running the Quan-like star safety slash less of a nickel, more of a star kind of a look and a scheme. That's what I think we're going to do.
I like that. Trying to get your most talented players out there and, you know, build the scheme around who those players are and slot them where they need to go. I think that's probably
the Edge can play center field just fine. He's a junior. It's his third year. If they showed that package with Miles as the nickel, now that had Xavier still out there as part of it, because you're not going to take that guy off the field, but I think they'll just do that package with Cox and Patterson on the outside and keep rolling with it.
Yeah.
That's my,
I mean, I don't know about you two in terms of like concern level. Obviously, you know, I'm not, you know, jumping for joy, but the fact that you're without arguably your two best corners, I mean, I know that there's probably a huge gap between X and whoever is next, but you know, you don't know exactly what Juice Clark is in terms of that commodity of the 2025 season. Not to say that he's better than Caleb or Torrey, but like that's a guy who would probably be pushing them at the very least. So it's like, and not having either of those guys and still very easily seeing a scenario in which we win this game is, as a top 10 team, might I add, once again, that we are still a top 10 team. Mm-hmm. Like that just, it's something where I honestly just like pinch me at this point, because yes, you obviously want to go out and win the game and you want to take care of business and you don't want to have these injuries and you want to keep the momentum rolling as much as you can. But that's the, to your point about the fact that we have this depth, that's just a testament to Brett Bielema's roster building and the fact that, you know, you're down two quality players, one of them being one of your best. And you're still able to probably go out there and yes, probably adjust your scheme a little bit, but you know, you having enough guys bought into the program and that's going to be something that it makes me feel a lot more comfort just about the rest of the season, no matter what happens with this Xavier Scott injury. And just the fact that like their development track record has been so outstanding, even in just the short time at Illinois. So not great, obviously. We don't love that this is the adversity, but the fact that you're without two of your arguably top three or four corners, or maybe even top two, and you're still seeing a path to beating Indiana is something that it's just amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And that's why I'm choosing to be like, you know, we have depth. We haven't had depth like this in the last 30 years. And this is why you have depth. It sucks that it's your, you know, returning first team all Big Ten defender, but you know, hopefully they find ways to you know, get him back out there this season. And you know, when it is and what it is and everything else, we find out. But you know, hopefully this is just a temporary issue instead of like a, man, we got to change everything.
If Illinois does win this game, is it officially Altmaier Heisman campaign? Like, is that where, I feel like he still hasn't gotten the national respect. People acknowledge he's a great quarterback and he's taking care of the ball, but I haven't seen that level of buzz. If you take care of Indiana, win that game, is that when things really take off for us nationally?
If it's with a lot of touchdown passes, yes.
Yeah.
This is not an offense that's ever going to put up like the numbers. Gosh, I say that. And what, like, what do we, scored 45, then 43, then 30. Yeah. How many, what's the
38? Well, yep.
Yeah. So we've scored 126 and allowed 22.
Yeah.
But like
scoring margin. Just
pause right there. You know, like the 0-1 team struggled in September. The, you know, they beat Northern Illinois like 18-12 or something like that. You know, the 0-7 team really struggled against Western Illinois at home and won 21-0 the game after losing to Missouri. You know, we went on the road to Duke, and we don't know how good Duke is, but you know, we have a three games where we've scored 126 and allowed 22.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen very often in Champaign. And yes. So is the offense going to keep scoring 40 game? No. But you do blow this out. Yes, he should get his name out there, especially if like if he's the catalyst to a win on Saturday night, then yes, he should be getting a lot more recognition. I think he will. I think win this game on NBC on a Saturday night and do it because of your, you know, skill, you're going to get a lot of recognition. And you're going to get those like, hold on, is Luke Altmyer the best quarterback in the Big Ten articles next week and that type of thing. Lose this game and you're going to get is Fernando Mendoza the top quarterback in the Big, you know.
Right.
It's all pivoting on all this stuff.
Yeah. I've seen numbers that say as of today, Indiana has a 25% chance to make the college football playoff. Illinois has got about a 20% chance. And I think, what do you think that those numbers would go to if we pull this off? Is Illinois suddenly a 40%?
Yeah.
Crazy numbers.
Like, you could lose to UC, Ohio State, win the rest, and go to the playoff.
Yeah.
You know,
impossible to even think about as an Illinois fan. Like, right. we need it. It would be incredible.
We got three ranked opponents the next 4 weeks. We could go 1-2 and still make the playoff. Is the dumbest thing my words have ever put together ever. But it's true.
All right.
I think the thing that gives me hope, just to tie a bow on the whole Luke thing, that gives me hope on him specifically is that we did talk about him kind of like having a higher floor in terms of his turnover worthy throws not quite being there, but some of the throws that, especially in the Duke game, like he made some absolutely like MVP NFL level, just like bananas level throws that not many guys in the league can do it. Not many guys have the confidence to make. And yes, he missed some gimmies. Like there are a couple slants where he's either double clutching on it or he's, you know, not hitting a screen and go that should be a walk in touchdown. Like, yeah, maybe he does have to play perfect to win this game to make up for losing a guy like X on the back end. And maybe this is like why you have guys like Gabe and Luke come back, because you need those guys to step up in moments like this when you're going on the road to a top 20 venue and you're a top 10 team. Like you need to prove out like you're about to be, you know, a top 30 draft pick, or you're, you know, a potential NFL quarterback. Like these are things that obviously they need to get after. I do have the confidence though, because of this, like just some of the throws that he's making and the confidence that he has to make those throws is it's insane. Like he's doing stuff that, you know, like I think we're kind of almost taking for granted because of how easy he sometimes makes it look. And yeah, some of that is like the wide receivers getting great separation, but him being able to go through progressions. And like I was even saying before, him being able to put the ball right where it needs to be for that receiver so that they're either catching and running, or they're being protected from themselves. They're being protected from the defender. They're, you know, in the most advantageous position. That's something that, like, you know, obviously he's a veteran quarterback, so you should have that, but the ease in which he's doing that, like that's something where if you have that lever pulled more than the, yeah, double clutching on a slant and maybe not pulling the triggers quickly or missing a guy by either overthrowing him a bit or not leading him perfectly or, you know, holding onto the ball too long. Yeah. If that lever's pulled more, than probably not winning, but there's enough there that gives me confidence that he should be able to do that. And that's something that, like, it might be a shootout, but I like our guy.
Yeah. Do you want to know what was going through my brain that whole time while you were talking? And that was very well
John said. Wright.
No.
John Wright.
The AI thing, may that say University of Illinois?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And on top of that, what is that other thing supposed to be?
What?
This the thing? Little block? Yes.
Oh, wait.
That's supposed to be.
You missed the discussion about the original.
You're telling on yourself, Robert. You're not listening or watching the pod.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
this here. Let's see if I can.
This. I got John that as a gift because
it was a
John
birthday would, gift.
As a birthday gift, because he would show up and we'd watch games, and I was afraid he was going to put a hole in my TV. Uh-huh. So it's a foam brick that you're able to throw. It's like a fidget brick almost.
So did you just tell AI, hey, create a fidget brick and put it on the shelf?
Just upload
I sent picture. I sent him a picture, yeah.
You can just incorporate things. So the like this behind me, this eye, I have in my room on the wooden board. So I just sent a picture in and it input it in the background itself. So pretty incredible.
That's amazing.
I kind of wanted to steal Brett Bielema's office when he does his interviews and he's got like the four different helmets sitting up on the shelves. I think I might try to input that in and get them to recreate that. So it looks like I'm in Brett Bielema's office doing the podcast.
What is the, this is just the, my brain is already saying, don't ask this. How How would I just put up a background right now? I've never in my life put a Zoom background ever.
Let's see.
I think you'd have to go to video.
You right click on your image.
I have that too. Yeah.
Huh?
There should be something there that says
if you hit the
I'll blur my background. Yeah. Let's try
just background.
Wow. Okay. All right. What else we got?
Our adjust audio listeners.
Background and effects.
There we go.
Oh, so this is like the beach thing that I've seen behind people before.
Yeah.
But can I create my own?
Yeah.
How do I do that? Add image or video. Hold on. Add image. Okay. We're going straight fire truck here.
We're trending in the right direction here.
This is awesome.
For our audio
as
listeners.
Far as for the podcast, I mean, can you beat it? Let's see. I've got a folder somewhere.
Please, if you're listening to this on, just at least like try and go to the YouTube page and we'll try and earmark the
it does kind of sound like I've done this just to entice people to.
We're all learning.
That's not a good one. Here we go. All right. Add that. Open.
There it is.
Did it work? Is it on?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you see yourself?
Fire truck.
Wow. Why is it mirrored?
It's not on our end. It's not only yet. On we your can see end. You. So it looks normal to us.
Like my Illinois right here is backwards to me, but I'm sure you guys are seeing it correctly. And we see Illinois correctly on your screen.
Yeah.
My brain trying to process what you just said. It's backwards for me.
But not us.
But not you. Why couldn't it just be regular for me?
It's probably so that because your brain's not used to seeing itself in that manner. So it's the like mirroring effect.
In the rearview mirror and then write ambulance backwards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly.
I feel like I need to have a drink with you as we're sitting in lot 31 right now.
Well, we could drink. Oh, it doesn't show up. Yeah. Get in front of my face. We could drink Powerade Zero for all your thirst needs. Oh, it doesn't even show up.
The unofficial sponsor of the Field Pass.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta all fill right. a fire truck with those bad boys.
Mm-hmm. Do I need to get off before you guys do your predictions? Because I cannot predict. You know
this. No, we're not gonna infiltrate your brain with our predictions. So we'll let you leave before that. But do we put a bow on what the celebration will be?
Do we poll it? Do we put a poll on X or Twitter or wherever and see what people are thinking?
I think I can. I mean, I think at this point it depends on if I can learn how to gritty, which is a sentence I never thought I'd say. Because I mean, if it's bad, then we're at the image of like, hey, check out this Illinois fool trying to gritty, like viral moment. And I'd like to avoid that. But I also, I mean, I could pull off the L thing. Like, that looks like it's easy. But I don't know if that's going to go over very well. And it also depends on if I can get on the field.
Yeah. I mean, the gritty is, I think you can pull it off. It doesn't have to be the best gritty, but I honestly think it's actually better if it's not a good gritty. Mm-hmm. And I think you being in on the joke would make it funny.
And that's usually a back of the end zone kind of thing, right?
Because
I'll probably have access to back of the end zone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should you cap it off by just dabbing all over the field as well? Just gritting into a million dabs?
If you gritty your way into the post-game press conference after a victory, I think Bielma might bring you up on stage as well.
Look, as long as I don't have to floss, I'm good with any type of... my niece or nephew tried to teach me how to.
No chance. Zero. Your wife's gonna ask you what you're doing later when you're
100%. Yes,
learning how to
grit outside so the neighbors can talk.
Ugh. All right. So the gritty.
Okay, yes. So we will gritty back of the end zone if Illinois beats Indiana on Saturday night.
All right. Huge.
We love it.
We need that's awesome. To. We need that to happen, and we get Brett to retweet that one to the masses. It's going to do, it might be your most viral tweet of all time, to be honest with you.
Yes.
Just because of the level of excitement.
Actually, you know what? There's zero chance it beats the Terrence Shannon banner.
Because
yep.
That went to like 1.5 million or something like that. So
that went international.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Before you head off.
I don't know if I did the right thing telling ESPN they couldn't use it. I think about that a lot.
Yeah.
ESPN was like, can we use it? I'm like, I don't want to be the guy trashing Illinois. I just don't want to do it. So I told him no. But then it's like, you know,
I mean, it was out there anyway.
We still did it. It's going to be there. They used somebody else's stuff. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Well, before you jump off, do you want to give us your player of the game? Who do you think is going to make the biggest impact this week?
Yeah. My hopeful pick is Hudson Clement.
Nice.
Pons can shut down Beatty. Pons is really freaking good.
Yeah.
And so we have to have a second receiver this week. Or even if, you know, just because Pons is so good and he's going to shut down a side of the field, we're just going to have depth elsewhere. And so I'm looking for a second receiver, and I'm pointing at Clement. So that one-handed catch he made was impressive. That other play in the on the other sideline was just as impressive of, like, catch, turn, go. Like, we need that other guy. And, you know, Dixon, we know he does, and I would love for it to be Dixon, but I'm going to go with Hudson Clement.
I like that pick.
Love it.
All right.
Yep.
Let you jump off after that, John.
Because I cannot predict, nor can I be around other predictions.
No.
I am weird.
All right. John Wright, just remember it.
John Wright. I mean, third generation. Just can't. I can't with myself sometimes.
Yeah, go take a long walk around the block or something as punishment.
100%.
All right. Thanks for joining.
See you, gentlemen.
There he is.
All right. Wow.
Illini Oracle title, I think, is in jeopardy now.
But who can supplant that? I mean, I honestly, the fact that he can even go 3 to 5 deep on receivers in a given year, even if he doesn't get the top one, I think is, like, you know, a testament that none of us could even do that. I don't even know how to pronounce these guys' names, obviously, because you and I, as you so aptly pointed out, we're dead for most of these folks, but it was one of those where I'm like, sure.
Yeah, I have no chance. So it's impressive nonetheless, but I do have a knack for picking the 2 years that he somehow, like, escape him at the very moment. So I guess I can take credit for that. But who do you have your player of the game for this one?
Yeah, I want to go chalk, but I feel like we talked enough about Luke, and even, like, I would feel bad picking Gabe because that's just, once again, too chalky. So I'm gonna go with the replacement, Tanner Hekel. I think that, you know, it might not necessarily be a stat sheet level of difference making, but just the fact that he goes out there and proves himself more competent than Indiana thinks. To your point, the fact that, like, I think that was beautifully said. I'm not even going to try and bastardize it by, you know, retelling it. It's just, that could be the thing. Them think over being overconfident and him making them pay. That's why I think I'm going to go with him.
All right. I like it. I'm going to go with guy who I think has just been playing great football and is giving us a glimpse into the future, and that's Khalil Valentine. He's been unbelievable. I think his ability to see and hit the hole is incredible. I know he still has room to develop physically, but, like, when he lowered the shoulder at the goal line in a game that was already out of hand to just finish off a run, I was like, man, that's what a Big Ten stud running back looks like. And again, he can add 15 to 20 pounds of muscle in the next season or two, he's going to be an absolute monster. But seeing the way he can read the hole and make cutbacks when he needs to, it seems to come effortlessly to him. And I feel like he's been earning more and more reps. And I know Aiden Loffrey's injuries has kind of opened the door for him, but he's making the most of that opportunity. And I think, you know, he's primed to have another big game. So give me Khalil Valentine this week.
I love it. Best pure runner on the team and not even close. And he's making it known. And that would be quite the revelation if he's able to really. It would be, you know, it wouldn't be the welcoming party for all of us who have watched him through the first three games or even a bit last year. But, you know, that puts him on notice nationally in terms of like other coaches are scouting him to the nth degree if he's going out there and making big plays against IU.
Yeah. All right. Getting into the game prediction, Illinois started as a 4.5 point underdog after the injury news to Xavier Scott. It's crept all the way up to 6.5. Are you surprised by that one? And, you know, maybe give me your, just give me your prediction.
No, I'm not necessarily surprised. It's going to be tough. And the one thing that I, not necessarily that we need Robert to opine on the O-line, because I think anyone with two eyes and has watched Illinois football knows that they're not playing up to the standard that I think that they ended last year with and that they should have set, you know, getting off the week one bus playing. Yeah. And so that's one of those where it makes me feel a little bit, it gives me trepidation, but then I hope that Luke having that tape from Duke where he was missing some of those quicker throws, because they're going to have to do that. Like if they you're going up against a defense that has a bunch of studs and you're going to need to gash them at some point with either Khalil chunk plays or down the field to Dixon, Clement or Beatty, but there are going to be those slants that are going to present themselves. And because you need to protect yourself from your O-line, for lack of a better phrasing, it's just going to be, I'm worried about that, but I think that with the way that Luke is playing, and because this is like, hopefully not the culmination of this team, but this is exactly why you bring back Xavier Scott. This is why you bring back a Gabe Backus. This is why Luke Altmyer doesn't go to Tennessee. This is exactly for games like this, where you really make a name for yourself and you put your stamp on college football as a top 10 team that deserves to be there, not just someone who had a lot of returning production and then happened to be ranked in the top 10. I'm going to go Illinois 34, Indiana 30.
All right. So you got us pulling it off, keeping the momentum going.
I feel like I kind of have to. This will be a great litmus test for how the rest of the year's predictions go.
Fair enough. Here's what scares me a little bit. We've had to put some stuff on tape for that Duke game. Like, you know, that was a game we were in a heavy battle with Duke. It's not like we could hide and keep some of our tricks in the in up our sleeve, I guess, whereas Indiana, in playing three tomato cans, hasn't really had to show much. So I think they've probably protected some of the intel and some of the stuff they're going to want to do against us. And that worries me a little bit, that we're kind of their first real test and that they're going to show. Now, at the same time, that is maybe an advantage to us that we've been tested on the road and they really haven't yet. But I don't know, something about their mentality and their edge that they have under Cignetti going back to last year scares me a little bit. They have that confidence and that swagger of a team that really believes they're another playoff team. And when a team has that, I think our team believes they're a good team, but I don't think they have that level of confidence. And in a big game, bright lights, NBC, 6:30, like, to me, it's going to be a big test. And I hope that we can lean into our experience and all those returning starters we have, and they're going to be ready to go. But I'm a little bit worried about the game, and I think I'm going to go 27-20 Indiana. I'm going to predict our first loss of the year, which still wouldn't derail us from getting to our ultimate goal of trying to make a playoff just because you lose to Indiana. Like, it's weird to say, but a loss to Indiana on the road as a 6-point dog is not a bad loss at all in a season like this one. And maybe that's what we need to right the ship to, you know, go up against USC and Ohio State coming up and, you know, get through that heavy part of the schedule. But I don't know. We talked about a 9-3 type of season, and this is one where, you know, I feel like maybe we get got and we don't get to see Robert Gritty along the back of the end zone, but boy, would I love to see that.
Oh my gosh. We that would be something where we need this to get to enough ears and eyes that people are watching him. Like if we have a hand, like a 10 point lead with a minute 20 left and we have a ball and we're just salting the game away, I want everyone's cameras just on Robert to try and find him so we can get to you. It was great. Like if we just put a video of just a compilation of everyone's shot of him grittying, that would be so electric.
It'd be so good. I mean, I want it so badly just because I know the type of numbies that would do in the online community, and just the vibes. If we beat Indiana, the vibes in a night game, national TV,
need it.
We get all the buzz going. Like, this fan base will be as loud and excited as we can probably remember, maybe Rose Bowl year. So it's, I don't know. I want to think about that, but I'm like, I don't want to put the pressure on us to have to win this one, because just, you know, even if we lose, if we look okay in the loss, I'm personally not going to feel too bad about it. But knowing what's there, should you win this one, and how great that would set us up for the run going forward and what that would mean, it's one I want more than any game we've had. So I'm ready for it.
I can't wait. It knowing how we football, I love that it's going to be close in the middle of the third quarter, and we're all going to be sitting there figuring out a path in our heads to win this game. And the fact that we can say that as a top 10 program going into a top 20 matchup, it's going to be incredible. I can't wait.
All right. Number 9, Illinois. We'll repeat it again just because it's fun to say. Number 9, Illinois against number 19, Indiana in Bloomington, not Geese Memorial Stadium, the other Memorial Stadium, 6:30 NBC. We'll be locked in. Hope you guys are as well. We appreciate you tuning in, as always, to the Field Pass. Thanks for listening, and go Illini.